text from the New Testament, from the Acts of the Apostles, from the chapter that we just read, Acts chapter 13. And the particular verses that I want us to concentrate on are amongst the closing ones we read, 38 and 39. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. So it's two verses, but I think it forms one text for us. Now, just to remind you where we are in the story, Paul and Barnabas were teachers in the church in Antioch. That's the other Antioch, Syrian Antioch. There were lots of places called Antioch because Antiochus Epiphanes, between the Old Testament and New Testament period, he'd been a very powerful leader following the breakup of the kingdom of Alexander the Great. And so he had places named after him. They were called Antioch. And so they left the city of Antioch in Syria. They were set aside by that church for missionary work. And so they went first of all to Cyprus. And then, as we saw, they sailed north to what we call today Turkey. And they arrived in another Antioch, Pisidian Antioch, we call that one. It's in the Roman province of Pisidia. And on their first Sabbath there then, the two of them, they were both Jews, of course, they went to the synagogue that was there, and they sat in the congregation. And after the reading then, first, you know, the scrolls were taken out, first the scroll of the law, and then the scroll of the prophets, and the scriptures then were read in the synagogue. And after that had been done, then the synagogue rulers, then the people who ran the synagogue, they spotted Paul and Barnabas. I think they could probably tell that they were men who were used to speaking in synagogues. They were rabbis, and so they sent a message saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." So I suppose they weren't thinking so much of a full-blown sermon, but if they could just give a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, then they would be very pleased. And so they were told that Paul stood. I suppose it was just where he was. He didn't come to the front. He just stood where he was. And he began then by motioning with his hand and speaking to the people and saying, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God." There would have been not just Jews there, but there would have been those who'd been attracted to the Jewish religion, and they, although they were Gentiles, had to a greater or lesser extent become Jews themselves. And to these people then, he says, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me, listen to me." And then he gives them a sermon or an address, then reminding them, first of all, of their history from the time when they were in Egypt down to the time of David, and then covering some of the more recent history. He mentions John the Baptist, and he mentions the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they did to him and so on. And it all then leads up to these verses that I want us to look at tonight, verse 38, 39. "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus," this Jesus he's been talking about, "the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." And then he just finishes off the sermon with a warning. "Take care that what the prophets have said doesn't happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you." Now, obviously, Luke has given us a summary of the sermon here. It's not the whole thing, but it gives us an idea of what Paul said on that occasion. And certainly, I think that we can say that the climax then, the apex, if you like, of what he had to say is what we have in those verses 38 and 39. "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." And I'm sure that Paul said that because he was in a synagogue and because he was speaking mostly to Jewish people, or people who at least were sympathetic to the Jewish faith. And so I'm sure he uses phrases that were particularly appropriate for that particular time and that particular setting. Nevertheless, the truth that's contained in those words is the truth that we still need to hear today, whether we're Jewish or whether we're not, whether we're religious or whether we're not. These are words that we all need to hear. And so from these words, and I want to say three things. First of all, something quite briefly, and then a little bit longer, perhaps with the other two things I want to say. So first of all, here is something then that we all need to know. Here is something that we all need to know. At the beginning of the sermon, you remember, Paul had said to the people in the synagogue, listen to me. He wanted them to fix their eyes on him. He wanted them to listen. Listen to me, he says. He wanted them to hear what he had to say, because what he had to say was very important. And then as he comes towards the end of what he has to say, he comes to this point and he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know, he says, there's something I want you to know. He appeals to his fellow Jews and to the proselytes who are with them in the light of all that he'd been saying. And it was important then that people should hear what he had to say, and that they should come to know certain things then. Now, I think that's very interesting, isn't it? That that's the way he phrases it. There's something I want you to know, he says. You see, he doesn't say, for example, does he? He doesn't say, there's something, brothers, I want you to feel. There's something I want you to experience. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, therefore, brothers, there's something I want you to do. Something I want you to put into practice. He doesn't speak in those terms. He says, there's something I want you to know. And I think it's important that we take note of that. Now, of course, if you become a Christian, you can know some very wonderful experiences. And you will, no doubt, feel things. And Christianity is very practical. I don't think we can deny that. When it's lived out, it's a very practical thing, isn't it? There are things that we need to do. It does involve doing certain things. However, first and foremost, that it is a matter of knowledge. It is, do you like big words? There's a nice big word. I have to stop and think before I use it. Epistemological. Have you come across that word? If you've never come across it before, don't worry. You've managed without it. But if you do come across that word, it simply means it's to do with knowledge. Okay? So if you feel the sort of person who wants to impress people, you can say, well, Christianity is epistemological, you know. But you may trip up and forget the word or mispronounce it. So maybe you just best to say it's to do with knowledge. First and foremost, it's to do with knowledge. You've got to know certain things if you want to be a Christian. And that's why, typically, when Christian missionaries have gone out, well, yes, they've been involved in setting up clinics and hospitals. They've been involved then in making sure there's a good water supply and trying to help improve the agriculture in the region. But also then, and in fact probably chiefly, they have been very keen to teach people to read and to write, to get them reading the Bible, to get into their minds knowledge, certain things that they want people to know. They want people to be able to read the Bible for themselves. They want people to know certain things. And there are some things, I think, we have to say, that if you don't know them, you simply can't be a Christian. Now, I don't want to commit myself and say, well, how much do you actually have to know? I think you can sometimes get by on a very little knowledge. And obviously, there are people, aren't there, with a reduced capacity for understanding. And you do wonder, you say, well, how is that person going to become a Christian? So I don't want to tie myself in a knot here. But I think you can say this, that generally speaking, Christianity speaks first of all to the mind, isn't it? It's to do with our thinking. There are certain things that we need to know. It's not to our emotions. It's not to an appeal then to doing things, but it is to the mind. It is an epistemological appeal, if you'll excuse me that word. It's important to know certain things, to understand, to comprehend certain things. And we mustn't forget that, must we? There's certain things we need to get across. So that's the first thing, okay? Here is something that we all need to know. Well then, what is it that we need to know? What does Paul want them to know? Well, you see, he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. So that's the second thing then. It is through Jesus that forgiveness is proclaimed to you. So there are two things really here, aren't there? These people need to know, first of all, that he's proclaiming to them the forgiveness of sins. That's the first thing, isn't it? What is he proclaiming? He's proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. That's his message, forgiveness. Look, he says, here's a way to be forgiven. Here's a way to have all your sins wiped away. Here's a way to have all your sins removed, gone. And so the focus isn't on bodily healing. There may have been people in the synagogue that morning who were suffering from physical ailments, one trouble or another. I'm sure certainly in Antioch there were people who were not well. And Paul, like the other apostles, was able to do miracles. He was able to heal people. Sometimes people would just take Paul's handkerchief, and if it touched them, then they would be healed. Paul did amazing miracles that have never been repeated to this day. And it wasn't then that Paul wasn't able to heal people. But his real concern, you see, is not for their bodies, but for their souls. He declares the forgiveness of sins that they can know. And he doesn't bring here a speech of political freedom, a message of political freedom either. He's not advocating democracy or some other sort of political system or anything of that sort. That's not what he's interested in. No, he's not interested in those things. He's not saying, is he? He's not saying, well, here's a way to improve yourself. Here's a way to get on there. He's not offering them betterment or simple improvement in social status. It's not something like that. He's not showing them how to get on in life. No, he is proclaiming something far more fundamental, something far deeper, isn't it? How to find forgiveness from God, how to be set free from sin. You see, we've all sinned, haven't we? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Isaiah's words, we're just like sheep then. You see sheep and they wander all over the place. They don't seem to have any sense or any direction. And that's what we're like as well. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's what we're like. There's a question, one of the Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Well, there's nobody here tonight, I would have thought. Can you say that? I've kept my heart pure, I'm clean, I'm without sin. Can you say that? Do you know anybody who could say that, honestly? Have you ever met anybody? Do you think it's conceivable that there could be such a person? Well, that isn't, is there? We've all sinned. We've all sinned. We're all sinners by nature. And so we all need God's forgiveness. And here, the very thing that we need there is proclaimed. It's proclaimed to all. So that's the first thing, isn't it? He's proclaiming to them the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. And then secondly, he's proclaiming to them forgiveness. How? Well, it's simple, isn't it? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. See, what Paul actually says is, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through, well, he literally says, through this one, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And obviously by this one, he means Jesus. Jesus is the one he's been talking about in the paragraphs that go before. And so he says, I want you to know that through this one, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. So when we ask, how is forgiveness possible? How can I be forgiven for my sins? Well, you notice what he says, it's through Jesus then. It's through Jesus that this come about. Jesus of Nazareth. And he's the one then that he's spoken of as the one whom God raised from the dead, the one who didn't see decay. And it's Jesus' resurrection, of course, that reveals how great he is and how worthy he is of our faith. And it's through him then that a person can find forgiveness. It's by trusting, first of all, in his death in the place of sinners, trusting in that then, that sin has been dealt with by that means, and then trusting in his resurrection from the dead on behalf of his people. So here's the message then. Here's the thing that you need to know. You can know forgiveness of your sins simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. That's all that we need to do. By looking away from yourself, looking away from anyone else, and looking just to Jesus Christ, you can be cleansed. You can be washed from all your sins. So that's the second thing I want to say to you then. It is through Jesus that forgiveness is proclaimed to you. And Paul doesn't leave it there. He goes on then to explain things a little bit further in verse 39. You see in verse 39, he says, through him, through Jesus then, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. So we're saying thirdly then, that forgiveness comes through justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And I think there are three things then for us to take in here. First of all, forgiveness comes by means of justification. Okay, that's the first thing. Forgiveness comes by the means of justification. To be forgiven can simply mean then to have the threat of punishment lifted, isn't it? Say there's a boy and he's going to be punished then because of the wrong thing that he's done. But then he's forgiven for some reason. His parents or whoever else is in charge, they say, okay, we're not going to punish you. You're forgiven. The threat of punishment is removed. And we can speak about forgiveness like that, can't we? God is willing to forgive. We deserve the judgment of hell. We deserve to be cast away from the presence of God. But God is willing to forgive us, and so that punishment no longer stands against us. The punishment and the threat of punishment is removed. But God's forgiveness is really more than that. It involves being justified. That is to say, it involves being declared righteous. When a person is declared righteous, of course, he doesn't bear any guilt anymore. So you can't punish him, can you? It would be wrong to punish somebody who was innocent. And so that's really what God does for us there. He doesn't just say, well, I pardon you, I forgive you, we'll forget about your sins. No, he justifies the person. And he puts them in a position legally where they're no longer guilty. In fact, they are considered to be righteous. You can think of a court of law, for example. A court of law, then, what's it aiming to do? It's aiming to see if a person is guilty and therefore deserving of punishment, or if a person is innocent and not deserving punishment. If the person is guilty, then he's condemned. If the person is not guilty, then he is justified. That's the proper use of the word, justified. It's shown then that he never did this crime. He is justified in that court of law. And so that's what God does for people then. He declares them righteous. And when a person is declared righteous, of course, well, he bears no more guilt. And so he cannot be punished. And so that's the forgiveness then that Paul is proclaiming, that he was proclaiming there in Antioch and elsewhere, and that we proclaim tonight then. That's the forgiveness that we're talking about, a forgiveness based on justification, or being declared righteous. So that's the first thing then. You need to know not only that there's forgiveness for sinners with God through Jesus Christ, but also that forgiveness then is by means of being justified, being declared legally righteous. So that's the first thing. Forgiveness comes by means of justification. And then secondly, justification comes by means of faith. Justification comes by means of faith. How does this justification come about? Well, it is by faith, isn't it? Paul says, through Jesus, he says, everyone who believes is justified. And by believing, he doesn't just mean everybody who believes in God, or everybody then who believes that God is willing to forgive you. He's talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about trusting in him, trusting in the one who died on the cross, trusting in the one who rose again from the dead. It's by his death then that Jesus took upon himself the sins of his people. And it's by rising from the dead that he was proved to be without sin and wholly innocent, and so capable of making others righteous as well through the sacrifice that he made. So all we need to do then is to see our sin, first of all, to see our need of forgiveness, and then to trust in Jesus Christ. That's all that it's that it takes. And that's why I say, although we talk about you need to know certain things, isn't it? It isn't very much, is it? It's not like you need to be some sort of, I heard somebody described the other day as he had to bring his brain in and on a trolley when he came into the room. It was such a large brain. We're not talking about a vast knowledge. We're talking about just simply understanding, well, yes, I'm a sinner. Now, that shouldn't be too difficult for us to understand, should it? We do sin, isn't it? We fall and we fail. And yet, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are forgiven. We can be declared righteous in God's sight through him. And this is for anyone. This is for anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who trusts in him is justified before God. It's a legal thing. Obviously, when a person becomes Christian, other things happen. Your heart is changed. You become a new person. You're born again. We could talk about that. That would be very interesting to talk about. But the thing that we're concentrating on here is forgiveness and justification. And it's not something then to do with what goes on within us, as it were. It's something that goes on outside of us. It is a legal thing. It's to do with how God sees us. To put it very simply, what happens in justification is instead of looking at me, God sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when he sees me, he sees sin, doesn't he? Bound to. But when he looks at me in Jesus Christ, when he looks at Jesus Christ, he sees righteousness. And so in Jesus Christ, I am righteous. I was trying to sort of look up some illustrations for justification. And there's a writer, an American writer, called Warren Wiersbe. He's written lots and lots and lots of books, very popular writer. And he passes on an illustration that he got from another man called Dr. Roy Gustafson. Anyway, the story, you may have heard this story, I don't know, that it's a story about a man who owned a Rolls Royce. Very good car. And this is some years ago now, but he travelled to the continent in his Rolls Royce. He got on the ferry down at Dover or wherever it was, and he went across to the continent for a sort of touring holiday in Europe. And while he was travelling about in Europe, something went wrong with the car. There was a problem with the motor of this Rolls Royce. And so he contacted the Rolls Royce company back in England, and he explained to them he was having trouble with the car, and he wondered what he could do. And according to the story, anyway, Rolls Royce sent an engineer. They flew this man across to the place where the owner of the Rolls Royce was staying. And the mechanic then, or engineer, he looked at the car, he could see what was wrong, he was able to put it right, and he travelled back. And the man was able to continue his holiday. He didn't have any problems with his Rolls Royce again. Now, you may imagine, well, this man was thinking, well, that's very kind of them to do that, but I wonder how much this is going to cost me to pay for this. And so when he got back to England, he thought he'd better write them a letter and just thank them for what they'd done, but to know, was there a bill? Was he going to have to pay something for this? And so he sent a letter to Rolls-Royce asking what he owed them. And shortly after, he received a letter back, and it read something like this. Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls-Royce. And as Warren Wiersbe says, that's justification. That's justification. It's as if you've never sinned. It's as if you've never sinned. Now, I know it's in Rolls-Royce's interest to deny that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls-Royce, and you can understand why they sent that letter. But it is a good illustration, I think, of what it means to be justified. It is as if you never sinned. It's as if you never sinned. And once we find that justification in Christ, how blessed we are. Do you want to be justified? Well, if you want to be as though you've never sinned, then you can be. You simply need to trust in Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do. It will be as if there never was any sin. And so then thirdly and finally, we must make this point. Forgiveness then can be found in no other way. Forgiveness can be found in no other way. We said that forgiveness comes by means of justification. We've said that justification comes by means of faith. But then, finally, we need to say that it can be found in no other way. See, Paul adds this little phrase at the end. I wonder if you noticed it. See, he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified. And then you see that phrase at the end. From everything you could not be justified from. By the law of Moses. You see, these were Jews and converted Gentiles then. They'd come to the Jewish faith. And they were all trying to find forgiveness in another way. They were trying to justify themselves by following the law of Moses. Now, there are people today who will tell you that it wasn't quite that simple, and that's really not what they were doing. I don't want us to get into that particular debate this evening, but I think it's pretty plain from all that we read in the New Testament that that's what was happening, and that's why Paul speaks to them in this way, because he knew that that's what they're doing. How did he know? Well, he'd been like it himself, hadn't he? He'd been trying to get to heaven by means of the law of Moses. He'd been trying to be justified. He'd been trying to find forgiveness then through the law of Moses. And it's not something that happened just a long time ago. It's something that happens today. It's not always the Ten Commandments that people try and follow. There are other sets of rules. But basically, time and time again, we find people then trying to justify themselves before God by what they do. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And their great hope then is that if they do those things, or if they at least get up, you know, near enough, then God is going to justify them. God is going to forgive them. And they're going to go safely to heaven. And it's a lie. It's a lie. Nobody will ever get to heaven by that means. You've heard about the horrible Nazi camps during the time of Adolf Hitler. And you know that Jews and others then were treated in horrible ways in those concentration camps. In Auschwitz and in Dachau and I think in other places. When you came in, you've perhaps seen this in films or you've read it in books, you've seen pictures. You see a slogan over the top. Sometimes it's in wrought iron on the gate. Sometimes it's written over the top. But there's a German phrase, Arbeit macht frei. Arbeit macht frei. And that means work makes free, literally, or work will make you free. Then, if you work, then it will liberate you. It will give you freedom. It was the title of a 19th century novel that was a bit of a favourite amongst the Nazis. And I'm not sure exactly why that slogan appears in the places that it does, but as you can imagine, it's a tremendous irony, isn't it? People were going to a place, and they were worked, and they were really worked hard, and they were worked until they died in many cases. And so the idea that work in a place like Dachau or Auschwitz could somehow make you free. They weren't free at all. It was an incredible irony. I think however we understand that line then, work will make you free, it is certainly a lie when it comes to the idea that by our works, then by working, we can somehow be free from sin. Those who follow a slogan like that, then, they're like those who went into the concentration camps, really. The thousands, millions probably, who died in the 1940s. Far from finding freedom, people who think they're going to work their way to heaven, people who think they're going to get to heaven by what they do, they are facing certain death. They won't find life. They will find death. It is only in Jesus Christ. It's only by trusting in him that the change that is needed can be brought about. And so it's no good to look anywhere else for justification. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only way that we can be put right. If you say, well, yeah, faith and, you know, you've got to keep up your head. Well, that's to misunderstand. No, it's justification by faith alone. That's where to look then, to the Lord Jesus. So I say to you tonight, are you looking to Jesus alone? I urge you with all my heart to look to Jesus alone and find forgiveness in him. Amen.